Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we invite you to listen in. And we pray that the things we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Today, we're talking about the gospel and anger.
Yeah, let me set this up a little bit, Mike. I preached a sermon recently on God's anger, and we looked at the anger of God and the fact that God's anger is a righteous anger, a sovereign anger, and a purposeful anger. And that got us thinking about, well, what about our anger? And how do we deal with our anger? Because if we're supposed to bear the image of God, then Scripture says we are to be angry and yet do not sin. So there is a righteous anger that we can bear. But for most of us, the reality is that that's not how it feels. Our anger does not feel righteous. It more often feels controlling and debilitating and destructive because the Bible tells us that anger is something that can be very destructive. And so we thought it'd be interesting to talk about pastorally and in discipleship, how do I begin to see the gospel transform me in the area of anger? There's a couple scenarios that come to mind. One is a man in our church who would say, there's just a baseline, persistent tone of anger in me. I feel it all the time. I'm not a raging person. It doesn't come out in crazy ways, but there's just in me all the time. There's this sort of deep and persistent sense of anger. And then there's a young woman in our church who would say, I'm a deeply emotional person, but the only emotion I really ever feel is anger. So like I'm either normal or angry. I'm not usually somewhere in between. And so it just seems that the more pastoral conversations we have, man, anger is a persistent topic for all of us. Anger is something that trips all of us up. And it's challenging to begin to think about, how do we begin to be angry like God is angry, where it's righteous, it's purposeful, it's redemptive? And how do I begin to tease out what repentance looks like for me in the area of anger? So Dusty, thought I'd begin by just asking you to frame out a little bit our thoughts about anger.
Actually, in the Porterbrook Network, which we're a part of, they frame out a whole article on anger, and they do some really helpful work in there that's been really helpful to me working with people. And they give these three helpful categories. It's considered a right response to anger. First of all, ask God to show you the idolatrous desires that cause your anger. In other words, they're saying, in the midst of your anger, what if you did some evaluation internally right there with the Holy Spirit and whatever's provoking you to think through, is this just selfish? Or should I actually be angry about this? Is this something God would be angry about in justice and mercy? Or am I just being ridiculously selfish right now? And then humble yourself. Secondly, humble yourself. So come underneath the Lord right now in this moment, which in the midst of anger, you never want to humble yourself, right? And then along the way, possibly, maybe you shouldn't be angry right now. You probably should repent and stop being angry, which we know is the gospel answer, and we know that that's the Christian answer. I think it's really hard in the midst of our anger and to actually do those things, right? So what's that look like?
Let's talk a little bit more broadly about just feelings, because anger is an emotion that we feel. And one of the most helpful works to me has been Dallas Willard's work on emotion. In his book on spiritual formation, which is called Renovation of the Heart, he talks about the fact that our feelings need to be renovated, old ones removed and new ones installed. And he has this great line, feelings live on the front row of our lives like unruly children clamoring for attention. They presume their justification in being whatever they are. Meaning, when I feel angry, I presume that I'm justified in feeling anger. And I think pastorally, that's the starting point that Porterbrook material is trying to get after, is the first thing I need to do is not keep assuming that I'm justified in feeling whatever I'm feeling.
Right.
Because the first problem with our anger is often it's not justifiable anger. It's not righteous anger. And so when Porterbrook urges me to ask the question, hey, why am I angry? Right. Step back in my anger and ask, what are the righteous reasons that are causing my anger? And what are the sinful reasons? They're acknowledging the same thing that Willard is, which is that feelings aren't immediately justifiable, right? We are sinful people, unlike God. And therefore, our feelings are much more complex. They're a complex web of selfishness and sin and righteousness and image of God. And so beginning to step back and sort that out is a really crucial process. The thing that's most interesting to me about Willard's connections when it comes to feelings is that he says we cannot change the way we feel in the moment of feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get angry, it's already too late.
Mm-hmm.
And so Willard's very thoughtful in saying we need to begin getting serious about discipleship and thinking about anger when we're not angry. Beginning to deal with our anger before we're feeling anger, reflecting on past instances of anger and saying, what can I learn from that? And so it might be more helpful, even though Porterbrook's wisdom is good in the moment of anger, trying to reason through it. I think Willard's counsel might be, maybe when I'm not angry,
mm-hmm.
setting aside some time to ask, man, why is this a problem in my life? What tends to make me angry and what do I need to learn from that? Dusty, you were talking off the record a few minutes ago as we were getting ready to do this podcast about the fact that anger tends to be controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Can you frame that out a little bit more?
Yeah. So even just going back to the examples you gave us here at the beginning of your friend who would say, you know, that's just my dominant thing. I don't really feel anything else, but I just anger is my go-to, if you will. It's my go-to emotion. First of all, what I would say there is that's just really sad. And I think I would start asking questions, and maybe we need to ask these questions of ourselves, is if that's true of you, if anger's your default and anger's your go-to, well, then when was the last, tell me about a time when you were actually happy. When in the last week were you happy? When in the last week were you incredibly joyful and overcome with joy and overcome with God's goodness? And when was the last time you just belly laughed? Because those are emotions that emote themselves in us as well, and we're emotionally whole. But if anger's dominant, I think my question would be, well, first of all, I would say, I'm kind of bummed out for you because that means, I'll just say it this way, that means you're emotionally constipated. There's other emotions that God has given us to drop in, but if anger is dominating, then you're not whole. Hmm. I think there's a good place for anger and things like that, but you're not whole if anger is your go-to. So I think what we'd have to go back to there, Bob, is say, is anger your go-to? Because it helps you control your environments.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this a little bit more. When we start to feel out of control, we can get angry. And so is somebody controlling you? And so you're going to go ahead and get angry about that so that you can grab control of that room, grab control of that environment. Mm. That's one possible reason why anger grips a lot of people. And you can think about it this way. In an alcoholic home, everybody's on pins and needles and eggshells because it's not the alcohol, it's the anger that comes after that.
Mm.
And the alcoholic in the home ends up dominating, controlling the environment.
Hmm. So it's interesting. There seems to be a tight connection experientially between anger and control. And so I'm either going to be controlled by anger or I'm going to learn the discipline of self-control and be able to manage my anger appropriately in a gospel way, not in a sense of anger management of like, you know, but in the sense of understanding where my anger is coming from, beginning to process it in light of gospel categories and letting the grace of God transform me. Here's another great line from Willard that I can't help but think in Willard's language because this chapter has been so formative to me. But he says, self-control is the steady capacity to direct yourself to accomplish what you've chosen or decided to do and be, even though you don't feel like it. So what he's saying is self-control is being able to do what you don't feel like. And so the problem with anger is it begins to control us. And when I'm angry, when I'm in the grip of anger, I don't feel like I cannot be angry, right? I in a sense, it feels like whatever comes out of my mouth at that time or whatever I'm irate about at that time, whatever, however my heart rate, you know, rises up and I sense the blood pumping, it's like I feel control. I don't feel like I can do something about that in the moment.
Right.
And the reason is because I'm in that moment lacking self-control. Mm-hmm. I'm controlled by anger instead of controlled by the Spirit of God.
So what's interesting about that, when I'm in control and my anger is helping me control this situation, that feels normal and that feels good in a real wicked way. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, we don't realize it, but it's incredibly wicked because that means that I have now replaced the Holy Spirit and I'm in charge. I mean, if you think about to the moments where you get angry, in the moment of anger, you don't say, oh, God must be very sovereign. right? Like, we don't have that conversation in our head with the Holy Spirit because we are sovereign over this particular situation. That's why I'm frustrated, because I have this list of issues. Like, I want right for this person. I must be right. I have these things. And so our trust in the sovereign God goes out the window when our anger controls the room too.
For people beginning to process anger in their lives, I wonder if it might be helpful to think through the same three categories of that I used in my sermon about God's anger, right? So if we know that we're to bear the image of God, that God is a God who gets angry, that God's anger is righteous, one way to evaluate our anger is just to ask, how is it like and unlike God's? So to use the first category, God's anger is a righteous anger. And so I need to ask the question, am I angry because of a clear right and wrong, moral and immoral issue in the world, right? So I want to be angry about rape. I want to be angry about sexual assault. I want to be angry about persecution. I want to be angry about the right things that are issues of justice and righteousness in the universe, because that's a right thing to be angry about. So if I feel provoked by those things, that would indicate that that's a good thing.
Right.
In fact, I would say if I don't feel provoked by those things, there's a deeper problem.
Right. Because those things are clear in the Bible.
If I don't have feelings, there's a bigger problem. So right. if I don't have the capacity to get angry about anything, that's a different kind of problem. Mm-hmm. So is my anger righteous? The second point I made about God's anger is that it's a sovereign anger. And so in that category, we might just ask, am I allowing God to be in control, or am I seeking to be in control? Right. Which gets us to that question you were asking, Dusty, about what am I trying to control by this anger? Am I trying to control my wife, my children, my circumstances, my life, or am I allowing God to be in control? And thirdly, I said that God's anger is a purposeful anger. And so you might ask, what purpose is there in my anger? And that's an interesting one, because usually there isn't a purpose other than I'm ticked, you know?
Hear me roar.
Right. And so if there's a purpose, meaning I can see this going somewhere, my anger is like God's in the sense that there's an outcome that it's seeking that's a good and right and just outcome, that might be appropriate. But I think most often that's the one that trips us up, because we realize, man, there's not really a purpose here other than I'm frustrated, my will's violated, I can't be in control the way I want to be. And wouldn't you say, Dusty, that most times anger for us is an attempt to play God? That's kind of what James says in his writing about anger.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think an example comes to mind for me in light of my own home. I'm almost ashamed to say this, but I'll just keep going. One of the things that happens in pastoral ministry for me is there's really never any closure, meaning I'm never quite sure if we're doing a good job. I'm never quite sure if that counsel helped that person. I'm never quite sure what the next leadership move is in our church. And there's all these unknowns in ministry. And if I have a couple days like that in a row where because a man needs purpose. And so if I start to lose purpose, or I start to feel like, man, this thing's off the rails, what's going to happen next? I start to control things I can control. And so early on in our marriage, or actually early on when we had kids, I would go home and there would be toys everywhere. And my wife, she's really cute, and I married her for those reasons. But one of the cute things about her is that she just puts her shoes in the middle of the room. She takes them off where she takes them off. And for me, I'm like, hey, why would you leave your shoes in the middle of the room? That just seems silly to me. People are going to trip over them. There's a place for your shoes, right? I tell this story a lot because it's kind of funny and shows how wicked and ridiculous I am. But I'd come home and I would start cleaning the house. Not because our house should be clean, but because I wanted to control something. But it came out of frustration. Frustration leads to anger. And she started hurrying around before I would come home to clean the house or to pick up the house. And I came in one day and she was doing it. And I was like, what are you doing? She was like, well, you just enter into the house a lot better if it's picked up. And I thought, man, that's terribly wicked. I'm so sorry that you're under that predicament. And then we start, we've over the years worked that out, and there's a place for shoes to be in the middle of the room and toys to be everywhere with a bunch of kids and stuff like that. But, that's just one example of anger and emotion getting the best of us.
That's funny to me, because I have a pastor friend whose wife says, when he comes home and starts rearranging the fridge, that's when I know we need to talk, because it's the same thing, right? The fridge is messy, and that's something I know I can fix.
Yeah.
And so that's right. That's the sign.
Yeah.
I think though, as we think about a purposefulness to anger, you know, my anger manifests itself towards my kids and my family probably most often because they're the closest, and so that's where I tend to sin in anger. But I can remember one instance in particular of sort of a righteous anger with one of my kids who just consistently has this one character flaw that would affect his siblings and create chaos in our house. And so I remember his mother and I sitting down, and well, so now you know it's one of my boys because I just said his. So there you go. You can start to do the math.
We'll narrow it down.
But I remember sitting down with him and my wife and just saying, listen, I'm angry about this. And you need to know I'm not angry at you as a person. I'm angry that this particular thing that you keep doing creates chaos for your siblings, and it's not okay. It's not okay with me. It's not okay with God. So my anger is rarely righteous, but I can remember that one conversation where I felt like, nope, this is me imaging God in the sense that God has a problem with this child's character, and I need to have a problem with it. And this child needs to hear that, not just as a, we're having this conversation again for the 40th time, but as a, hey, there's a problem here, and I'm going to be angry about it because God is angry about it, and you need to see the seriousness of it. And so occasionally, when my anger actually begins to look a little bit like God's, it can bring about redemptive results. And the opposite is also true. When my anger is sinful, it always brings about destructive results.
Okay.
And so if you think about just the difference between what Satan would do with anger and what God would do with anger, right? Satan wants to take me down the road to destruction and chaos. God wants to use anger redemptively. And that begins to be a grid by which I can gauge what is the anger that I'm feeling right now.
Right. Yeah, and I liked what you said there. You said, my anger is rarely righteous, which is true most of the time, but anger is not a problem. It's actually an emotion that God's given us for good, right? Like for justice, for mercy. And in those moments, those rare moments, it's actually a really good thing.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, because I think there's a need to think creation, fall, redemption when it comes to anger, right?
Yeah.
Anger is an emotion that God gave us, and it's one that he feels. So created in his image, it's good.
Right.
Fall, anger is broken, and the fall makes me feel anger in ways that are sinful and destructive. Redemption in Christ ought to begin to restore me to what God intended, which is, as I'm experiencing the redemption of the gospel, what should be happening with anger in my life is that it should be becoming more righteous, more purposeful, more godlike. And that doesn't, what redemption doesn't look like is not ever feeling anger.
Right.
What it does look like is beginning to feel a more righteous and God-imaging form of anger. And so I'm interested, Dusty, in when we think about the fall component of that, here's what tends to happen pastorally is, I think people, myself included, justify anger because it's a feeling, man, and I just feel what I feel. Like I've heard people say, hey, I know, I got to do something about that, but what can I feel what I feel, right?
Right.
And so there's this sense that because I feel it, it might be wrong, but it's justified because I can't control my feelings. How does the gospel maybe reshape how quickly I justify any feeling I'm feeling?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to back up enough from it, not in the moment of anger, and evaluate, number one, was I slow to this anger? Because God is slow to anger.
Yeah.
And so there's your number one, default right there, or question to ask is, was I slow to this anger, or was I stuffing it and stewing on it, and now it's just coming out? And then I think through a gospel lens, you need to view it through, what do I need to repent of here? Is this righteous, or what do I need to repent of? And if I can repent of this, then instead of my anger coming out towards everybody around me, it's going to come out on the cross of Jesus Christ and victoriously through the hope that he gives me to be free from it. And so so I think that's how we have to, that's one angle at least to possibly look at it through the gospel.
Willard has been helpful to me in this area. He says in his chapter on feelings, feelings can themselves be transformed by discipleship to Christ and the power of the gospel and the Spirit. He says the realm of feelings may appear on first approach to be an area of total chaos, but this is not so. And he says when our lives are being inwardly transformed to be like Christ's, the feelings we will feel will increasingly be those associated with love, joy, and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about peace often being the opposite of anger,
right?
It's hard to be at peace and feel angry. Now, God can be at peace and feel angry because God's anger is an expression of justice. But if, I like I like what Willard's framing out there, because what he's saying is, I don't just get to put feelings in a category by themselves and say, I just get to feel what I feel because they're my feelings and right. you can't say they're right or wrong. Willard's right. saying, no, the Bible says they're right or wrong. The right. Bible says rejoice always. The Bible says be angry but do not sin. The mm-hmm. Bible commands you to feel
yeah.
things.
Yeah, come on.
And so what he's saying is you should be feeling increasingly things that identify and associate with love, joy, and peace. That's the barometer of is the gospel at work transforming your feelings? And to the extent that those feelings aren't present or persistent in your life, there's probably some work to do in terms of transformation of your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would just go back to what something I said earlier. God made you emotional, right? So you should be emotional and you should be well-rounded emotionally as well, right? So I know that when we're talking to leaders, sometimes we're curious about what they pound the table on, you know? And really what we're saying there is, what do you get excited about? Or what do you get serious about? What is God wired inside of you to pound the table, if you will, about? And so in the same sense, if your anger is dominating you, maybe you're pounding the table about the wrong things, right? And maybe those things are about you and not about the kingdom. And so how do you become more dialed back? So practically speaking, I think all of that's really good. And if I'm listening, I might be curious on, okay, great, I agree, you know, yes, thanks, Willard, thanks, Proverbs, thanks, all of that. And at the same time, I still feel dominated by my anger, so what am I going to do next? And I think that that's where discipline comes in. I think you have to be open to other emotions. I think you have to be open to God being sovereign, you not being in control, you being more repentant, God being righteous, you being unrighteous, and being made righteous as you live life. And so that's going to feel foreign. That's going to feel really foreign at first, because if anger's default, you don't even know sometimes when it's rearing its head. And so you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to peel those layers away and do work on you. And you're going to have to celebrate other emotions along the way.
Yeah, this is good. I think I can speak from my own experience here, because I would say early in my life, meaning early in my marriage and ministry life, so 20s, in my 20s, I probably was the person who just anger was sort of my only emotion. You know, I could feel happiness and anger, but not really sad. I didn't grieve a lot. I got pissed about stuff, you know, like yeah. when stuff didn't go right, I was mad.
Yeah.
And through God using my wife in helping me to be sanctified and helping to sort of hold up a mirror to that, one of the things I began to pray after some conversations with you and reading Willard and just thinking about how do I pursue discipleship and discipline in this area, I began to ask that God would just give me the capacity to feel other things. Mm. And I would say that one of the things that's happened that's been really marked for me in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years is I feel a lot more sadness than I do anger. Mm-hmm. So I grieve with people in ways I never used to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And that's come through a lot of hard things in my own life. It's come through things that were grievous and sad to me where I experienced those emotions and I was able to say, oh, that actually helps me enter in with someone who loses a child or someone who mm-hmm. loses a parent or someone who goes through a divorce. Like there's hard things that happen that just, I got to be able to grieve with people. Mm-hmm. And that came out of me reading those verses in the Bible where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Mm-hmm. And me saying, I don't think I do that well. Like other yeah. people cry on my couch and I'm like, I'm really sorry for you. Let me pray, you know, instead yeah. of being able to enter in with them. Yeah. And so God has really shaped me in that way. In increasing the breadth of feelings I'm able to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was helpful in that was Willard saying, if we are to be formed in Christ-likeness, we must take good care of our feelings and not just let them happen. So again, mm-hmm. it goes back to that idea of what you're saying, Dusty, which is discipleship means evaluating my feelings when I'm not feeling them, being right. purposeful about who am I, who do I need to become in this area, and how do I begin to take some practical steps to grow in my capacity to feel outside of the moment when I'm feeling those things?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you could liken your emotional life to the spiritual disciplines as well. If all you did was read the Bible, but you never prayed, and you never went on solitude, and you've never experienced fasting, then you're in a sense not a robust
constipated
full Christian. Yeah, you're constipated.
Spiritually constipated.
I already said that once, so I was going to say it again. But in a sense, that's all you do. You're just a Bible guy. I mean, other Christians around you, even new Christians, would be like, dude, show me how to pray, and you wouldn't know how, right? So if, again, going back, if anger is the only thing you got in your toolbox, you're in a sense in trouble, but you're also going to make it You just have to be honest about where you're at. Not okay. Don't be okay with where you're at. Ask God to break into that. Peel those layers back and be okay with Him when He is peeling them back.
I think it's interesting just to ask, what does Scripture say about these things? You know, and because one of the things that I think we have to do, when people say to me, you know, how can I help it? This is just what I feel. I just want to take them to the Bible and say, okay, well, God commands you to rejoice. God commands you to weep. Right. Like, look at all these emotions God commands you to feel. If you take that seriously and you wrestle with the fact, the only emotion I can feel is anger, but God right here tells me to weep with those who weep. I can't obey God unless I grow in this area. That, I think, begins to put a different tint on this, because one of the frustrating things as a pastor is when people want to use, and I think we live in a culture where emotions just become sort of a blanket excuse for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, the even crime in our own city, right? Crimes of passion, what people do when they're angry, right? Mm-hmm. You realize, hey, this is not something that Christians can take lightly and say, oh yeah, I get angry and I don't know what to do. Nope, that's what the pagans say.
Yep.
And I think God's calling us to something different, to be able to be the kind of people who can point back and say, nope, God's changed me in these areas. My emotions are more in line with Christ, or are becoming more in line with Christ, because I'm being intentional about pursuing that.
Yeah, there's so much here. There's so many things we could unpack. If you think about pornography and masturbation and those things, that's angry sex. If you think about gang violence and why people are so freaked out about gang violence, is because it's angry violence. There's a different kind of violence going on in gang violence, and that's why people are outspoken about it, and they want a robust city, and they want something done about violence because they know it's angry crime. And so the emotion of anger, when it grips us and gets control of us, and we don't become self-controlled in the Holy Spirit, then our whole city suffers. Mm. Our whole society plunders and goes under if we can't gain a righteous anger.
Let's hit pause there, and next week we'll come back and tackle some of the practical biblical ways to begin to transform anger in our lives.
Well, guys, thanks for talking about this today. Super helpful just to sit here and listen to you guys converse. That's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join in the conversation on anger, or even suggest different topics you'd like us to talk about by tweeting us at Cormdeo Omaha on Twitter. We'll talk to you guys again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.